Well, it's only been, a year since we've done an episode of Yaminabe.
Yaminabe.
So glad we're back to doing this. I've missed you guys. I've seen you practically every day.
Yeah, it feels good to have a microphone in my hand again.
Yes. Yes.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Wow. So we're coming to you live and or recorded from the studio of Ashirogi Muto. I can't wait to see the next issue of Detective Trap. Wait, that got canceled.
Yes.
I can't wait to see the next one-shot of Hitman 10.
No. Or Perfect Crime Party.
Or Perfect... Is that what it's called now?
I'm
so fucking far behind.
They're actually even a step beyond that at this point in Japan.
Son of a bitch. Oh, well. I gotta tell you guys something.
Please do.
I told Kyo this yesterday. I started watching... You know, it's five episodes in. I started watching the Ouran High School live-action series. And... I think I may like dudes now. I don't know. There's something about it. It's very pink and fluffy. And I think I may want to touch a dude's butt or something.
You have shame this house.
It's okay.
You have shame this house, boy.
I'm sorry.
It's not bad. I mean, there's a few. I mean, I watch Hanakimi. I mean, that's about as gay as it can possibly get. And I did watch some of Ghost Ager.
Well... You know, well, it's weird because Gosei Red is the little super deformed, fluffy, cutesy, punk bitch dude who I want to punch right in the face in Ouran High School. I don't even know his name. You guys watched the or read the manga for that?
Honey, you think about Honeysuka
Sensei?
That's
Sweetie Pie. Yeah, him.
See now,
that little fluffy, sweet, buttery bitch face.
I love the manga, and. Is it? How can I say this? Is it gay or in live action?
Dude, it's uber stupid gay, but for some reason, I fucking love it.
Liberace.
No, it's hilarious.
It's like I need to be like eating cotton candy dipped in some kind of strawberry cream thing, and wearing pink. You know, I think that's the only way you can truly enjoy the show. You need to be wearing pink and a lot of doily things around and a light.
Does somebody just need to sneeze sparkles on you?
Say word. Wow, I'm on the wrong show. But yes. Yes. That's what I need to do. So, you know, it's been a while since we've done an episode of Yaminabe. So we should go around and introduce ourselves one more time. Just in case you don't know. This is Captain Ryans from the Word Podcast doing the Yaminabe thing with my other anime nerd brothers. You will recognize...
Keone.
Oh, no.
Hooray.
Hello. Nice to be back. I mean, it's not like I don't see you guys all the time, even though it is cool to sit with a mic and talk with everybody, talk about Chris and his support circle of pink domo-coons.
It's only one.
Just one. That's all you need.
Yeah. And the man, Yaminabe, Josh.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. It is very good to be here.
What voice is that?
I don't even know.
It's a City Alpha 5 voice.
So for this episode, we're going to be focusing on manga. You know, the manga that we read, our favorite manga. Stuff going on within the manga industry. So what do you want to start it off with, guys? What do you want to start off with? Joshy.
Well, why don't we talk a little Bakuman? Because, I mean, we're starting there. It seems like a healthy place to start.
Yeah, considering we're in
the studio.
The studio while they're out at school.
Yeah, well, you're just drooling over his Kamen Rider figures.
I can't help it.
So, in Japan, at this point, for Bakuman, we are definitely coming in towards the end of the series. And it's been a wild ride. And I'm really enjoying it.
I think it should come to an end. I mean, that thing is so close to truth. I think that they probably had armed snipers at the Shonen Jump offices for how personal this book gets.
Keep mystifying our industry, motherfuckers. Keep it up, or we're going to get you, Death Note people.
It's really funny, because if you look at some of this, for those of you who don't know, pretty much everybody in Bakuman is an analog for various people on the Shonen Jump staff or various mangaka.
Yeah, didn't you say, Josh, I had a conversation about Eiji, and he told me that basically he's Oda from One Piece.
Yes.
Now I can't read One Piece without him going, shush, shush, every time.
I really hope that Oda is that way in real life. I really do, because just imagining Oda just, you know, crouching over his desk going, gumu, gumu! You know, I just think that would be the best image, mental image ever. But they've gotten the author of Gintama has in his questions and answer session segment in his collected volumes has pretty much said that he's Hiramaru, and it's based entirely.
I don't want to do this.
So Hiramaru is probably my favorite character in the entire series, and I do love Gintama.
The
guy
we're talking about is the Otter.
Oh yeah, Otter 11. Okay. Otter 11. It's that serious humor thing, which if you look, and if for anybody who's read Gintama, which is another great manga title to talk about.
It's like that Gintama is more like a parody kind of thing, right?
Yeah, Gintama makes its living making fun of everything else that shows up in Shonen Jump, and we really get. A lot of titles. I mean, Dragon Ball is a constant reference. Every
Bleach and whatnot. In there
too, Bleach, right? One Piece. There's a constant joke
there's
in the anime.
Thing, right? There's a Fist of North Star.
Fist of North Star stuff like that constantly. And there's a great love of the old school. He references Cobra constantly. There's a side character who is just flat out space pirate. Lazy Verse, that fast fellow.
Oh,
Harlock.
Crap. Yes, Harlock.
yeah, get the mic in front of me, and I heard him out.
These motherfuckers don't know what the fuck they're talking about, assholes. Get off my iPod.
But yeah, so he always makes fun of that. There's a running joke in the anime series, especially, which you can catch on Crunchyroll. There's way too many episodes of it. Just skip the first 20 or so if you have any sense of who the characters are, and you can just get into it really easy, or just read the manga. The manga's great, but there's a running gag about how there's this upcoming movie that, to my best of my knowledge, we still don't know if it actually exists or not. They keep talking like they were making it, and now they talk like it's been made, but I can't find any reference of it outside of the actual episodes. They do a fake trailer at one point, and it's very obviously every anime movie that's been released in the past 10 years mashed together.
That reminds me of that YouTube video. There's a video on YouTube. You can type it up, kids. It's called every anime intro ever, and it's like 5 minutes long of running birds flying, teardrops, slow turns. Protagonists and antagonists crossing each other over a background of a starlit sky. Oh god. I don't read Gintama at all. Actually, I've watched a few episodes. There's too many.
Yeah, it's really hard to. The problem is that you have to know where the story arcs are, because going back to it being represented in Bakuman is that you have a really solid sense of that it can just be. Fart jokes and throwing up, and then all of a sudden we have this epic storyline about a kid who's trying to reunite with his mother in the worst part of the city, who is being held as the Queen of Geisha, the Queen of the Night, by the biggest Yakuza organization in town. And it's just amazing battles and just this really solid, serious action, which is just badass. But, and then we're back to, a battle between the main characters trapped in a bathroom without toilet paper.
Yeah, I think that was one of the turnoffs for me, is I couldn't determine whether or not it was comical or serious. I remember Josh showing me this episode. I think it was a Hot Pot episode.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is
the thing that our show is named after?
It is why I made sure he watched it.
Yeah. And I'm just perplexed by it. I'm like, what am I, what? And I laugh, but And then Josh was, oh, there's some serious parts in there too. And I'm like, well, I'm reading there's nothing serious about it. Now you told me there's something serious, and so now I might have to go back and read it, because too much Looney Tunes-esque stuff, I can't read it anymore.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll have to find you some specific either chapters for the manga or episodes for the series that you can watch some of the more serious stuff and see the really badass feeling of action it can handle.
And it's weird. Like, I'm like the complete opposite of Kyo when it comes to reading manga. Like, not to break off from Bakuman as far as we already have. We'll get back to it. But the manga that I like to read is stuff that doesn't take itself too seriously. You know, like, you give me XL Sagas, you give me Cromartie, you know, give me Gintama, any of that kind of stuff. I love it. You know, anything that's, you know, all right. I borrowed Dead Man Wonderland from Kyo, and Thoughts of Suicide were like, it was like,
it's dark.
You know what? Suicide doesn't seem like a bad idea. Fuck life. Dead Man Wonderland, wow, it's depressing.
Oh, it's cruel. It's just cruel and unusual.
And I just think that, you know, for me, just to, you know, keep a smile on my face and stuff like that, it's got to be just stuff like that. You know, of course, I read my Ranma, Meizane Koku, stuff like that. and, you know, any stuff that's, you know, just too happy, doesn't take itself too seriously, you know, the fate of the world, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I don't need to, you know, I don't really read that. I watch some of that stuff, but I watch the anime for some of that stuff, but as far as reading manga... yeah, I do that.
I think
to this live action Ouran Host Club, I may start reading that too. God damn it!
But no, I think.
Oh, I'm gonna wear pink tomorrow.
I think you really would like watching more of Gintama because it does have that balance of just the wacky, out there comedy and then just the truly badass action.
Word. I will definitely. Yes. Yes. Now back to Bakuman.
Yeah, we got way off, but
so we may have talked about this in the other episodes, but those were like 4 years ago, so I've forgotten completely. But one of the things I want to see, you can tell that Oba and Obata have like these fantastic ideas, because all of these different manga titles and storylines that they're throwing into this book, you know, it seems like they're references like stuff we could do down later on down the line or something like that. I'd love to see a lot of those stories that are in there. I'd love to see those thought out and in volumes. I want to read Detective Trap like nobody's business. Like, you know, I'd love to read that.
Yeah, one of the things I've been really happy with the anime is that they've been really taking the time to expand on those manga ideas, so you get a little bit more out of them. But yeah, they've done at least one manga extra where they did a chapter of Otter 11, it was great. It was great, and I really hope that they take the opportunity to do more of that stuff.
Nice. That'd be great. That'd be great to see.
I'm so behind. I don't even know what's going on that. It's funny working in a comic book store. You know, I get them every month when they come out, but I think I'm still at book four. At book four on it. And I watched the first season of the anime. Well, most of it. And then when I heard the second season was coming out, I read that it was nothing but filler. And now I'm finding out there is no filler.
Yeah.
They lied to me. Damn you, internet. So now I have to catch up to all this, catch up to where it is in Japan, and also catch up with it, just the second season itself. Unfortunately, there's other books out there that are taking more of my attention.
What else are you guys reading? Like I said, like the extent of what I'm reading is, of course, Bakuman right now and Detroit Metal City. And I know that's pretty much over, but
yeah,
I'm only on,
that just ended
volume
like
nine,
last
10,
month.
10 was the last volume.
Yeah. So that's the extent of it for me, for now. What are you guys reading?
You want to go first? Oh, okay. Well, I'm reading, one series just recently finished in Japan. It's called Ghost Talker's Daydream. It's about a girl who is an albino exorcist, who also her day job is an S&M bondage expert.
So she, and you know where I'm going with this, has she seen shit?
That will turn her shit white. I think that she looks at shit and it turns them white. Because she's an exorcist. She's a medium. She can speak to the dead. She can have conversations with them. And the government hires her to figure out, like, you know, missing person cases. Usually they talk about suicide or cults or rituals and stuff like that. The funny thing about it, I like her character, is You made a reference earlier about happy, you know, books that you like to read that are happy. She is such a nihilistic person that every time she says something, I just can't stop laughing, because that's the way I will look at something. And you know, and just her job being an S&M thing is just a really weird twist to it all.
In case you couldn't guess, it's an adult manga. Well, not adult.
It's published by Dark Horse. It's
mature.
It's very mature. If you come to Atomic City Comics, I can guarantee you that there's not an open copy for you to read.
Shameless plug.
Hey, I gotta eat. It's taking a good percentage of my time. I actually reread it recently because one of my good friends, she started reading it, and you know, she spams me left and right with questions about it.
You got me to start reading it. Yeah. And it's grim. Mm-hmm. It's grim. It has some really interesting story stuff going on, but it just gets grim.
Well, one of the things is at one point, I think around book 3 or 4, when it was published in Japan, there was this huge teenage suicide number. And they were actually asking the writer, whose name escapes me right now, to actually kind of lay off on it because there was a huge rampaging going around of teenage suicides due to stress or whatnot. Holy shit. So they asked him to kind of take it easy, but he was like, no, I'm going to keep going. And there's less teenage suicide stuff. There's no suicide club like the movie where they jump into the subway train. But it's really good. The art's really nice, and the story's really good. She's partnered up with a martial artist partner who is – could be in love with her.
I was pretty damn sure that he was.
But the irony is he's protecting her, but at the same time he's like deathly afraid of ghosts, and this girl I think that she could pretty much hold her own against anybody. Again, it's the whole entire S&M shtick that really cracks me up about the book. That's one of the things I'm reading right now. It's currently in America right now at six books so far. It's totaled 10. It just recently finished in Japan about almost half a year ago. So hopefully, if Dark Horse wants to, they're really notoriously well known for bringing out a book a year.
So about 3 years from now.
Yeah, 3 years from now. So that's one of the books I'm reading currently right now. Another one I'm reading right now is a book called Bloody Monday that is published by Yen Press.
It's got a live action series.
Yeah, it has a live action series. It's so far, it's two seasons have already gone in, or in Japan, two series have gone in, chapter one and chapter two. It is about a kid named Falcon. He's a computer hacker. His father works for a counter-terrorist organization. It's part CSI. But unfortunately, you know, if he put on sunglasses every time he did a hack job, it would be awesome. You know,
that would be awesome.
But the first half of the book, the series, it's only number one just recently came out about a month and a half ago. The story is in this one is it starts off where it's in Russia, and it's during Christmas in Russia. Now Christmas in Russia is on December 23rd for some reason, there's a bunch of people praying in a church, and then all of a sudden this like people start violently throwing up bloody noses everywhere, and they all die. And the person who leaves is a Japanese woman. She leaves the scene with a video encoded into a micro SD card, and she goes to Japan. And there's this organization that's kind of like the CTU in 24 that finds out, you know, that they get access. They find a copy of this video, and they're trying to figure out what this video is, where it came from, and what it's about. And they need the help of like the number one hacker in the world, which is this person named Falcon, which is actually a 16-year-old high school kid.
Isn't it always?
Yeah, 16-year-old high school kid.
Always
these motherfuckers do a lot of.
If later on find out that his father is one of the, it kind of reminds me of Death Note because he's kind of like a good Light Yagami, where he's a genius. But he's not diabolically evil. His dad's like a police chief kind of character. His dad's like the number three guy in the organization.
Yeah, I can see why you make the Death Note.
Yeah. And it goes from there where you find out that it's a virus called Bloody Monday. It's a like a new strain of an Ebola virus, and he's trying to figure out where you get the information at. Meanwhile, the woman that was in that video happens to be his substitute teacher, who's trying to kill him. shit. So, but she's like, it's funny because in the live action show, obviously from Japan, anime, live action to manga exaggeration, she's like a big, in the manga, she's like this big boobed teacher that all the students are in all the male students are like in love with her and what are in love with or like enthralled with her, and you know she does like in the beginning of the book she does like some crazy cat and mouse stuff, like she destroys his computer, throws it in a fish tank, and it's comical at first, and then later on it just gets heavy where he has a sister that needs dialysis, and she arranges her to get kidnapped. So. And to get his cooperation, they make him hack into his father's organization's computer. It's just crazy. It's so much crazy stuff. And
so you've got all your standard spy twists.
Yeah, spy twists and everything. But what makes it better is it's not always just about him. Later on, I mean, spoilers. Later on, it has a lot to do with his friend, his best friend, who's a student, who's like an exemplary student that has a lot more, not indirectly, but. Not directly, but indirectly, he actually is one of the biggest players in the whole entire story.
That actually doesn't surprise me. They set him up pretty heavy as something.
Yeah, he's almost about as good as a genius as he is, but not with computers, but figuring out things of how they work. So it goes from there. The live action series really covers the first story, which would be, if you read him in Japanese, it would be books 1 through 4. The next storyline is basically about a nuclear plane, a plane carrying nukes that's going to destroy the Japanese diet, and that right there is just pure ridiculousness. Like it goes crazy. Like people die, a lot of people die. They make no qualms of killing children, like killing even a 12-year-old in this book.
Yeah, you tend towards the more brutal stories. Yeah.
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine about it, and he asked me like, why do I like this stuff? And I almost. When I first started reading manga, I enjoyed like the kiddie stuff, and I still do. But I think what it is I just like, you know, what I watch on TV, the video games that I play, you know, and stuff like that. I feel like I'm an adult, and sometimes, you know, I like to read something a little bit past my age level, maybe a little bit ridiculous, like books like Bloody Monday or whatnot, or books like Future Diary, or books like Dead Man Wonderland. Like, I like that stuff. I mean, it's just...
I'm not faulting you for liking it. I just want to keep from killing myself when I'm watching, you know, when I'm reading a certain manga. I'm sitting there on the crabber. That's where I do my reading. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm right here. I could just slice my wrist and just let the blood go right into the bathtub. I don't shit in the bathtub. I'm saying... Like, it's near the bathtub. I'm like, well, I could just slump it. All right.
I love Dead Man Wonderland, though. I mean, like, you were mentioning about Dead Man Wonderland. I love it. It's a shame that Tokyopop doesn't exist anymore because they were the people that were publishing it. I read a rumor that apparently Yen Press was supposed to get it or Viz. I know Viz has the anime rights.
We own you all.
Viz
bought me last week.
But I was Trish Lido owns your heart and soul. I heard that was supposed to happen, but then I'm also hearing that Vertical might actually end up getting the rights to it too. Vertical is a company that publishes a lot of the Tezuka stuff, like Blackjack, So I mean, I would really like to see it going because it's damn good. I mean, like it's really smart, and the art is beautiful. I mean, I was a big fan of Eureka 7. So I'm just hoping that this, like, you know, it does come out in America. A lot of good stuff that, you know, Tokyopop's biggest problem is they bought everything and then they just couldn't keep up their end of the deal.
They went the way of ADV.
Well, ADV is also now known as Sentai Filmworks.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, yeah, but at least it was ADV.
And they definitely got my money with Persona, bastards.
Well, it was the bubble. Everybody, you know, jumped on, oh, look at these anime sales. Look at these numbers. This is just great. Let's buy every stupid title and...
Black Lion.
You know, half the titles that Genion bought and then were just terrible and couldn't sell, you know, and now
it
we've got the actual...
Hajime no Ippo. Genion had Hajime no
Funimation's got the second
half. Yeah, finally, the last of the Genion titles that were locked up
Hellsing
have finally been picked up by Funimation.
Funimation. They bought me two.
Well, they bought you with Dragon Ball.
That was a wrap.
Another manga that I'm reading right now is it's not currently out in America right now. You can read it on some manga, right? Has it?
Some manga's on lockdown at this point. So if you're not a member, it's a little too late.
Yeah,
there are various sites.
It's a manga called it's a manga called called Teppu. It's from the name always escapes me. It's from Uda Mori. It is about MMA fighting with girls.
Without fan service.
This book is
really
brutal. Yes. All right,
I'm brutal. I'm in. What's it called again?
Teppu. T-E-P-P-U. Come on.
I'm getting that.
It's about this girl named Natsuo, who is like this overachiever. She's like good at everything. Good at science, good at school, good at sports, good at, you know, martial arts and whatnot. Well, she meets this girl who is apparently involved in MMA. Meets her. She says, why don't you come join this club? She comes to visit the club. She meets this girl named Ringi. And Ringi's this Brazilian girl who just whoops her ass. Just beats her down. So her fascination is, it's like a Hajime no Ippo, you know, the need to be strong, the need to be better. And it just goes where you think that this woman who is an overachiever, like I was talking to Josh about earlier, she's like this overachiever. And later on in the book, she's nothing compared to the other people that are in this book.
Does she have like Ippo, does she have like a dynamite punch or something?
No, she's this just, is very much, this is a series which is very much grounded in reality and takes itself very seriously.
No turbine engine punches.
No, nothing over the top. It's still really good. It's just very much bounded in reality. It doesn't focus on fan service. It's just these rivalries that form. I mean, she's pretty hateful. She shows up and she wants to. Her whole big thing is, you know, that it bothers her how much fun Ringi and her friend have. Mm-hmm.
Her name is Yuzuko.
Yuzuko have at MMA, and she just wants to wipe the smile off their faces. She's bitter.
Well, one of the best things is, like, you know, Chris, especially because you and I talk about MMA all the time, especially after we watch Warrior, one of the things we discuss a lot about is how the state of MMA is just like, are you ready? Grapple, floor rub, match over. No, there's kicks, there's punches, there's actual, they actually apply.
As far as MMA goes, and I don't want to even get on the whole UFC thing because I got my issues with all that, but they've changed up a bit because it was way too static and you know, it was very, very rigid and whatnot.
There's wrestling, taekwondo, judo, kajukenbo. There's martial arts involved in this.
I'm about it. Mm-hmm. I'm in it.
And if you are a person that gets sick and tired of girls fighting, there are chapters that have the men. There are male characters to fight. The men, most of the sparring chapters, the men are generally getting their asses beat by a girl, and it's within, like Josh said, it's grounded in reality. They're losing because either by underestimating the girl's power, or just the fact that the girl, or no, not even holding back. Like some of, like, when there's the main female strong character is the girl Ringi. Her father is basically kind of like a Royce or Rickson Gracie kind of character. Okay. They know that she was trained by this man, so none of the males that have experience in the sport want to take, don't take her half-assed. They're like, she's really, really good. But she's like this cheerful, she's like Baki. She's like this cheerful person. It's always smiling.
OVA Baki.
Yeah, OVA Baki. Okay. Not Ginger Baki.
I'll kill everybody Baki.
But yeah, either way, Josh said earlier, it's definitely grounded in reality. It's got great art. When someone gets hit, they get hit pretty hard. They make sure that you feel it.
I'm sold story wise.
Artwork's nice. I actually went out of my way. The last time I went to Mitsuha was the last time I bought three of the Tangobons, and I like searched everywhere because the way their bookstore is set up now, it used to be done alphabetical. Now it's done by genre and company and year. So
that's rough.
Do you think this is something that will get animated at some point?
A lot of people have been writing to, I've been on the message boards for, again, Yen Press, which is like one of my favorite companies, asking them like, hey, you know, get this. You know, Dark Horse has expressed some interest in it, but everyone's like, no,
you know? Yeah, the big problem is that there's just not much of it at this point. We're up to about chapter 15. It comes out monthly in Japan. So
it's gonna be a little bit, a couple years
before there's enough content for them to animate anything.
The saving grace of it, though, is it's not 24 pages.
No, each chapter has length. you don't, you feel like you're getting your, you know, because I read some other monthly stuff and it's like, wow, I'm done already. Wait, what? Why isn't like this coming Naruto. Out weekly? Yeah, but that comes out weekly at least.
Yeah, and Naruto's getting night. Awesome.
Loving it. What are you reading, Josh?
I'm reading a lot, actually. It's the byproduct of having been unemployed for as long as
Project
I was.
Project unemployment.
I'm, you know, I'm working now, of course, but during that I picked up so many titles. One of the ones that I read is, I actually have to go back before on this one. There was a manga titled MX-Zero, and it was a really fun one. It was really cool because it's this whole idea of this kid who enters a high school where they teach magic. So everybody in the school... get your Harry Potters out.
Get my Voldemort on.
Come to die.
Okay, so imagine your basic shonen series. A kid goes to a high school, and everybody there can use magic, except him.
Sounds familiar.
He jumps over a fence. I might have gotten you to read this before. He jumps over the fence, and because of like getting into a fight with a teacher, everyone thinks that he's the most powerful magic user in the school. So what they have to do all throughout this series is he's got to trick everybody, all the student body, into thinking he's got magical powers and all these creative ways to use the fact that he's just strong, he's a good fighter, to convince everyone that he's the most powerful magic user on campus.
See, when you say stuff like that, it makes me, and maybe this is why Shueisha is like, all right, Bakuman, let's wrap it up, because it's stuff like that, like because it sounds very gimmicky and cliche, you know what I mean? It sounds very gimmicky and cliche, and I'm already like, I'm digging it, you know what I mean?
All right, well, here's the bad news. It was canceled.
Oh!
How so?
I think it...
Did Miura try to add more comedy into it, and then it wound up...
Well, actually...
Was he playing Idolmaster?
It was... It had a good element of comedy to it, actually. That was one of the things, because you get these wacky situations of this kid trying to convince everybody else, oh, I'm a magic user, and I don't have anything, and all these creative ways that he had to solve the problem. But I think what the big problem was, and now granted, it lasted 99 chapters. It did have a pretty good run, but ultimately it was canceled because besides the fact that he was strong, he didn't have any shonen, you know, I'm the main character who's got this special power that makes me more awesome than everybody else.
But, like you see what I'm saying? Like, you know, you've all read Bakuman, and you see how the editors
talk
and whatnot. Does it seem like, this is just one of those?
It's hard to tell, because the changes that do... There are changes that occur over the course of the series. He does eventually get a specific magic power, but it happens so naturally in with the storyline that
emphasis on
it. It doesn't feel like somebody came in and said, you know, more gags, more gags. You know, it flowed really naturally into it. The other thing is that it could, you know, it was typical shonen hero, shonen humor. Well, it had some battle elements, but, you know, you'd have your fan service chapters. You know, the one chapter, one of the more infamous chapters is the time when all the girls in this room get knocked out and there is an anti-gravity spell in effect affecting their breasts.
What's the name of that show that I stopped watching? When it was all about the titties?
You've stopped watching several because they're terrible.
Maybe Ken Akamatsu got mad and like sent a, you know, creator of Nejima, and like put a severed head in the creator's office, like, stop stealing from me.
But it was funny.
It sounds pretty good.
Oh yeah, it had a lot of good humor elements. It was lighthearted, but after having been canceled for a considerable amount of time, he finally has a new series. Kagami no Kuno no Hasegawa. I am butchering that title. I know I am. The thing is like people online just refer to it. People online just refer to it as that mirror manga. Because
what manga?
The mirror manga. Okay. The twist in this one is that the kid falls into a magic mirror and he gets trapped inside. And the only way for him to get out, it recently revealed, is that he's got to confess his love to the girl that he's always had a crush on. And it has to work out. Otherwise, he'll be trapped and sealed away.
The guy from Bakuman needs to take notes from that guy. Learn how to man up.
A lot of the problems that people were having with it at first is that it was a really high emphasis on fan service early on. And I think he's just trying to keep his... Because otherwise, it's pretty much a comedy romance story. And I think he's just trying to make sure that he keeps his readership.
Word.
But it's fun, and I'm enjoying it. I'm glad to see... It's, I think, up to chapter 13 now. I'm just glad to see that he's getting work again. Because MX-Zero was just such a great story. I mean, I recommend that to anybody. Find it online, read it. It's not licensed. It probably won't be. I really wish it were, but just find it, read it online. And enjoy it, because it was just great fun while it lasted. Other than that, I've been hopping on a lot of stuff that is coming out domestically, finally. One of the things, going back to talking about good art, I've been enjoying Bride Story.
Yes!
Which
so
is,
expensive to buy. That is pretty much one of the most expensive mangas I have ever paid for in a very long time.
How bad is it? Actually, I haven't been paying attention.
Like $13 or something?
No, it's like $27.
Dang!
But it's a hard,
it's hardcover, right?
It's hardcover, yeah, it is hardcover, and it's worth every penny. I mean, hands down, the art is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's so it's Kaoru Mori who had done Emma, who would just, you know, get into these intense. In Emma, she had just gotten into this whole thing where she would just get into these amazing depictions of 1900s London. And this time around, it's a story of in Mongolia. And just these... The way that she handles character expression and the clothing and the art, it's just... She really captures something special.
Yeah, I mean, there could be, like, one thing, again, like, there's bits of pages where there's really no dialogue, just sound effects, and just, like, I read really fast, and, I mean, when I'm looking at it, I'm just absorbing the background and just, like, where these details are. I mean, the fact that she's got clothing, it made me actually want to look up that time period and look at, like, let's see what she did wrong, and nothing wrong whatsoever. I mean, she did her homework. She got everything right.
Yeah, it's clear that she loves to just pour over these, you know, historical texts and look at these art and just really depict it.
I think the only worst thing about that book is in Japan, 2 tankobons are out. Second one just came out here stateside.
And it'll be forever until we get the rest
of it. Come out.
It is, the art is just absolutely incredible, though. And I'm just really happy to see that this, you know, getting the hardback, good quality printing that it deserves.
Well, Chris hasn't read it, so you want to explain to him or him or our audience what it's about?
Sure, because I've completely ignored all of the story points. The story is that it's another romance. I read way too many of those, so don't feel too bad about, you know, watching Oren Hosko.
There's something wrong with this one, actually. It's very... it's very handled. It's matured handled. Really well,
cool. You know, yeah. No, I don't mind.
But the story is that
I like doilies.
The story of this one is that you've got a young couple with a younger husband just getting married.
How young, Josh?
He's what, 13?
What?
Yes.
You lost me.
You got to remember how this is 1900s.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. He's under 13. He's like 11.
Is he that?
Yeah, he's 11. She's like 16, 17. Yeah, she's 17.
She's 17. She's, yeah. She's...
Wow, as Roke would say, have you seen my childhood?
That said, I mean, they handle things in such a way that, you know, he's portrayed as if he is that age. I mean, it's not like, you know, she's the older bride who's brought into the family to unify two tribes which might have otherwise been at war, and you see him slowly falling in love with her, but, you know, still being young and very innocent.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like in a perverse fashion either. Like, he genuinely like loves her and she genuinely loves him. It's just that it's considered a bad sign, you know, that the groom is older, you know, older to a woman who's obviously older, and in that culture, if it hasn't been married yet, she wasn't a widow or anything. She just wasn't. They just no one gave her to anybody to get married to, and you know he's in the beginning he's worried about it as a social status, and she's worried about it as a social status. But you know, within the first three chapters of the book, that gets cleared up rather quickly, where you know it's like, you know, I love you, you love me, all right, let's go. And it just goes from there. And there's this other story that's going on, if you want to talk about
that. There are a couple of other stories, actually. There's a English scholar who's visiting them and trying to learn from it, and acts as a really nice gateway character so they can really talk about, you know, this is the way that, you know, we build our homes, this is the way that we work on this or that.
Again, which is not half-assed at all.
No, she really took her time. No. you get these stories of life of everyone else in their family, his parents, his sisters, the friends that they have, and you really get these... It's just very much a very simple drama of stories of life.
I wouldn't – well, in that aspect, yeah. But then there's also the other part of the story where this girl is also quite a capable woman. She knows how to hunt. She's better than her husband.
She's badass.
Yeah, she knows how to hunt, ride a horse. You know, she's just really, really skilled at doing stuff. But not in an overdramatic, like, you know – like, she's no Akane Tendo, you know. She can't smash rocks with her fist or anything, but...
But she can stand, you know, on the back of a horse and shoot a rabbit with a bow at a ridiculous distance.
That's always cool.
Well, yeah, that's pretty badass.
What happens is...
gotta eat!
I haven't finished book two yet, but from what... at the end of book one, I can pretty much spoil for you. Basically, the tribe that gave her to the other tribe wants her back. And... I forget the exact reason why they want her back. Have they revealed it yet?
They do. They get into it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of silly, mm-hmm. but it's drama. It's to create a bit of tension as far as the story. Also, her brothers become more important later to the story as well. Sorry, I completely lost my train of thought there. The big problem that I was having... with that bit is just that it seemed like it was just kind of forcing the issue, just to kind of really say that, hey, we gave her to you and we really didn't want to, so we're asking for her back so we can give her to somebody else. And you actually get to see some of the... It's a really nice story, that particular storyline. Not so much the focus on the main couple, but again, it's another story where the side characters become that much more important.
Like the one bit with the side character, I think it was the youngest child, who his uncle or whatever is building pillars for houses.
No, it's just someone else in their village.
Yeah. Okay.
The other thing is that the main characters live in a much more settled village, whereas where the family that she's from is much more nomadic. Moving around, which is why she has all the horseback riding skills and the archery skills, whereas there's much more focus on arts, crafts, farming, and that sort of thing in the main character's family.
I can't really stress enough about telling our listeners to actually pick this book up. I mean, like I said before, it's very pricey. I'm not going to lie. It's very pricey. Not as pricey as most stuff, like mainly actually like a lot of that Tezuka stuff like Ayako or Book of Human Insects. Those are very pricey books as well. But, you know, you're getting a lot of, you know, I hate to say that term, bang for your buck. And I hate to be a salesperson on that. But it actually, I've recommended it to a lot of people. And the first thing they look at is they're like, wow, the detail, this is gorgeous. And, you know, they come back later and they tell us about how good the story is. And I have yet to see anyone who's ready to go, oh, this fucking sucks. I mean, they're just, this is really good. It's probably like the new stuff that's like the new, like not reprinted old stuff, but new stuff that's came out stateside. It's probably like one of my favorite books to read. Like I would be extremely happy if book three comes out in the in the beginning of next year. I would really like to see it happen.
Nice.
Anything else you're reading into?
There's a couple other things. There's more titles that are currently running Japan, and some that I really hope get licensed stateside really soon. One of the ones that I'm reading that I think pretty much a lot of people would like is Gamblefish, which a friend of mine got me on, because he would show me these every once in a while. He'd show me a page, and it's just the idea is, it's, again, it's another shonen series that the main character is trying to be the best gambler in the world. And by that, I mean he really, really cheats. And so does everybody else. Oh. And it's how much more dramatically can we cheat in every situation that we're in to, you know, fulfill the gamble. It's less, you know, like playing poker and more the barroom bets that you might see where it's like, ah, I bet you I can, you know, pick this dollar up out of this from underneath this glass without touching it. Kind of bets, you know, sucker bets. But it's these competitions that he gets into, such as this dice stacking competition, or this...
God damn it, they'll make a manga out of anything!
It's absolutely insane.
Anything! Like, I thought we'd reached a certain height with Air Gear. I'm like, really? Y'all did it? Y'all made some shit off of...
Rollerblades.
Rollerblading? And then took it there.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense anymore.
Cup stacking.
So, yeah. Actually, yes, cup they stacking. Do cup stacking. But the thing is, like, so you start with that, right? So you start with cup stacking, and you get all these other, you know, all that sort of stuff. And now, in the current storyline, the villain that he's fighting has the Code Geass eye slave power.
Shit.
And
they're
fighting against U.S. commandos by trying to...
Hold on, stop. Are we still talking about this gambling episode?
Yes.
The gambling thing?
Yes, yeah. It just gets more and more over the top. Oh. It's just completely ridiculous.
How many chapters is this?
We're up to like 76 at this point.
Jesus. So I have to read this now.
just in these 70 chapters, we've gone from, oh, here's a card trick, to here's us fighting against Rambo. And you look at these guys, especially when you get up to these latest chapters, and you see these commandos, and each one is clearly a parody of an American action hero.
He challenges the Expendables in a game of nitroglycerin hockey like Yu-Gi-Oh.
I really hope it comes to that.
As a knife fight with Terry Crews.
But it's completely ridiculous. It's
the American title
stuff.
Should be called Cheat the Win. You know?
Cheat the Win.
Cheat the Win.
Cheat the Win. The Eddie Guerrero story. I know that one manga that I'm pretty sure, I know Josh and I read, I'm not sure if Chris has gotten around to reading it yet, is the newest book from Hirano, a creator of Hellsing, called Drifters.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yeah, I haven't read it yet.
Oh, my God, that book is awesome. Our podcast is called Yamanabe, which is a melting pot of pop culture, basically anime, manga, video games, whatnot. This book is Yamanabe with samurais, Hitler, Rasputin, dragons, hobbits.
You had me at Hitler. I don't know how that's going to come across, but...
Worse than you think.
But,
Well, he's very much dead in the book, but...
Samurai and Hitler are like some samurai that chopped this dude up.
No, well, Hitler's very dead before the story starts.
Okay. It's very hard to talk about this one without spoiling everything. I'm just going to toss that out there right now.
God. I always look at it like the main character, if he is the main character, reminds me of Samanosuke from the Onimusha series.
Yes.
He's a samurai. It's hard to say this one. Basically, he's a samurai. He's laying refuge on a castle in this big battle, and he dies, and then wakes up in this world where Nobunaga is his general, and he's fighting dragons, among other things. It's just so out there.
So I was like, all right, I got this story, man. I want you guys to hear, man. Hold on. Okay,
I think Hirano read. read High School of the Dead and realized that they made a parody of his character. It was like, you want to see me be crazy? I'll show you crazy. And just made this book about crazy. And it's awesome.
With 98% less titties.
I think what he really did is he's like, man, there's all this badass stuff from history. There's like this guy who was a famous pilot, Nobunaga, who everybody knows. This particular samurai who was obsessed with cutting people's heads off. This other samurai who was from the Tale of Genji, who was just this world's most amazing archer. Joan of Arc, Rasputin, and just all these amazing figures from history. And I want to make a manga about all of them.
Let's do it, man.
So at the same time.
can I put Luke Skywalker in there, man?
Josh recommended me this manga, like, via Scanlations online, and he's like, yeah, you gotta read it. And I remember going, okay, I'll read it. The next day, we're talking to each other on chat, and I'm like, what the fuck did you just get me to read? He's like, you didn't like it? No, I want more! It's so good.
Somebody else forced me to sit down and read it. And I say force. It's like, hey, did you know that somebody had, you know, put this that the creator Kota Hirano had put out a new manga? I was like, no. They're like, read it. And I'm like, oh, I'll get around to it. They're like, no, you're gonna read it now. And I'm like, okay, I'll read like a chapter or two. I'll make him happy. And I read all 7 chapters that were out at that point in one sitting. And if there had been more, I would have just kept reading because it was just that good.
Like every chapter so far has not been a point where I've gone, oh, this chapter's forgettable. No, every chapter something strange happens, and you're like, how? What? Like, the one thing we were talking about earlier is, like, we mentioned Hitler, and I'm sorry, you put Hitler in anything, as long as he gets punched in the face or set on fire or
Rory from Doctor Who gotta come in and punch him in the face.
Or Captain America. He's punched Hitler 70-something times. One of the things is, like, Hitler's in the book, but he's already dead. And it's even funny because, you know, I think Hirano has this thing for Hitler. I don't know why, because he has him in, he's mentioned in Helsing constantly. In fact, he's part of the reason why the main villain even has a job of being a main villain. And, like, not only he's dead, but he has a whole entire kingdom based upon his ideology.
Yeah, because you take these historical figures, you put them in this fantasy world, and then in this fantasy world, you've got these heroes just rampaging on the countryside, basically. So Hitler, when he came, he's like, elves, they're less than human. So let's treat them the way that I treated the Jews in this fantasy world. So he like takes them and he puts them in basically these towns where he's got them segregated. And he takes their women away. And he takes away their ability to fight.
I will be reading this.
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
It's, and then, like, Nobunaga shows up and teaches them to kill.
Word. Okay. I'm sold.
Nobunaga's like the best character.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like Josh knows voice actors, which one day we'll probably have an episode about voice actors.
Yeah.
I read Nobunaga in the book always as Norio Wakamoto, who is, if you watch Cromartie High, he's the voice of Mechazawa. He's the king on the King of England and
Code Geass,
among many other things. One of my favorite things is he's Dracula for the Castlevania series. So imagine, like, this smooth talking 60-year-old Japanese man just being badass. It's so good. It's kind of like when I read comics like Batman or when I read a Batman book, Kevin Conroy is always stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill's stuck in my head. Right. So when I'm reading a book and I have voices of who these people are in my head, I know that I'm never going to put this book down. And unfortunately, the drawback of this book is it's published by Dark Horse.
So again, we'll see another volume.
For those who don't know about Dark Horse's publishing schedule, they have this thing called, they're like EA Sports. You're going to buy it, fuck you, and we'll publish it whenever we feel like it.
You don't like that? Don't talk bad about EA. They just bought us about 18 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
apparently we're in the game.
Oh, man.
EA Sports.
Well, EA is also a division of BioWare, so.
Oh, BioWare. Right.
And BioWare owns mostly all of us.
To break it up, not to just, you know, figure we'd end it on this one, but we're going to talk about Shonen Jump.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of new things going on in the wonderful world of Shonen Jump.
So everything's going Digital, get down. Anyone who knows?
I just recently found out that they're going digital. Are they also with Comixology as well? Because I know Marvel also went with them as well. I mean, are they the universal publishing company for the digital stuff?
It might be. I haven't looked into the behind the scenes stuff. I know that it will be on their own site. It will be just you go to Shonen Jump. I'm really hopeful that what they do, and because I haven't seen a pricing schedule, I haven't seen anything like that. What I'm really hopeful that they do is that they just ad support everything, toss it up on the site, let people browse it, let people read it online, and then just push harder the sale of the manga, you know, the tankobons, the collections, the same way that they really push the sales.
Shonen Jump has been
in Japan.
Shonen Jump in the past like year has, especially in Japan, has just blown up to me reading at least. I used to only just read one thing from Shonen Jump. Now I'm reading three books from Shonen Jump. One I'm barely reading, that's Bleach. That's still kind of good. You know, One Piece, but like, I hate to segue around this, but Naruto right now on through Shonen Jump is just fucking amazing right now. It's crazy.
And that's one thing I think people need to realize, not to even jump off topic too much, but here in the States, people talking about Batman, Superman, Spidey, X-Men, Avengers, all that stuff, and how popular they are. They are not the highest selling comic books in the world.
Mm-hmm.
No, One Piece, it's Naruto, no. It's Bleach.
There's actually a study, and Marvel still is on the high ranking of like comic reading and comic book shots, but nowhere near as Shonen Jump titles recently.
Yeah,
and one of those factoids that I always love is every time a new volume of One Piece comes out, it is the best selling book in Japan.
Yeah.
Period.
Like ever.
Not like just for the month or for the week. It's not the number one title. No, it's the best selling book ever. Every time.
Shonen Jump has not been that popular since the days of Dragon Ball Z, Yu Yu Hakusho. I mean, like Hunter x Hunter. Mm-hmm. It has not been that good. I think Oda, Kishimoto, and Kubo like came in and just said, I think more Oda is like, you know, I'm gonna make this good. And I think he's personally carrying Shonen Jump on his back.
Here's what I wonder about that. About these three creators. Just like, you know, it's going back to Bakuman again, but, you know, that's my look into the manga industry. Do their editors, are they on their shit the way that, you know, they are in the show? Like, you know, the way they are in the book. I wonder if it's like that with the editors and the manga creators, like it is in Bakuman now. At least for those guys. I wonder, they're just like,
I really hope so. They seem to imply in, again, their off-page comments that everybody really is supposed to be somebody specific.
I wonder who Togashi is.
I hope he's not in there. Otherwise, I've got somebody who I think it is, and I really don't
Togashi
want to say.
Togashi is the creator of Hunter x Hunter, Yu Yu Hakusho.
Which has started again.
Yeah, Hunter x Hunter has started again.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, new chapters are coming out.
He needs the money for his second child.
Is that what it is? Because if that's what it is, then I understand.
Yeah, I just don't like him, though. There's the rumors about him. He's such
that's
a dick.
That's one is married to the
creator Sailor Moon. Moon. Which, yes, by the way, has came back out, ladies and gentlemen. Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon back on the shelves in America, at least. Not just that, the wall scrolls, the necklaces, the earrings,
shameless,
the everything.
I have a shameless plug. There's gonna be a Spice Girls reunion. I can feel it.
Please shut your mouth. Sailor Moon has come back in a big way. Now all that's left for them to do, and this is breaking away from the manga conversation, sort of, is to I want them to Dragon Ball Kai Sailor Moon up.
I don't think they need to the same way.
No.
No, they just need to get out of that terrible mind. Just they have to get about the terrible mindset that they can finally get away with releasing the uncensored, the unedited final episodes.
Yeah.
Because they cut it off before they got to Super S, mm-hmm, because they were afraid that it was going to ruin the image because of the Star Sailors or whatever the heck it is. Haven't actually read that.
I don't read Sailor Moon, or I've watched a few episodes. Weren't they men or something like that?
Yeah, they're guys that turn into Sailor Scouts.
Yeah, all right, that's what I thought.
And the thing is that it's kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, anybody who actually knows the series, you just kind of shrug. And it's like, it's one of those things, you know?
It's Japan.
But they were really afraid it was going to hurt the image so that they cut the licensing on the unedited episodes.
The industry, at least in the States, is a lot different now where they can do that.
They could have done it at the time, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly think they could have done it at the time.
I hope they do. I hope they bring it back out, redub. You know, I think all the original music was in there on the American episodes, I think.
Except for all the songs that they re-sung.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Just bring it out, Japanese. Bring out subtitle. You know, like I said, Kai it. Bring out, redub it. Make it as close to the original as possible. Don't use American names. You know, use their...
And they're doing that with the manga names. Re-release. The manga release, when they... For anybody who's actually read it the first time, I had only ever glanced at an issue. You pick it up and it's Usagi was Bunny. And that's what they always referred to her as in the manga. But this time around, she's Usagi now. And everybody's got the names that they should have.
Yeah.
And actually, I admit, I'm kind of impressed. This is the first time really reading Sailor Moon. And actually giving it any kind of serious thought. I mean, I used to watch the show, but that was just kind of, it was on.
Yeah.
But to actually see them.
Don't lie.
I remember the show coming on at weird mornings. Like, wasn't it 6:30 or in the morning or something?
Pretty early, and then it would pop on again in the early afternoon. Mm. See, I'm totally outing myself with that.
I just didn't by watching it all around high school.
Look at me. No,
but no, I mean, at least for me, I know that it came at a time I was very starved for anime. I was like, I need something new to watch right now. Oh, look, Sailor Moon. I'm going to get totally into that. And I was. And it was kind of sad. But, yeah, they're finally bringing it out. And we've gotten way back away from the whole Shonen Jump thing.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Oh.
Hey, it happens with conversation.
Black as Night ninjas is really starting to cut you
to me. Naruto right now, man, that's my shit. I love where it's going. I have no idea where it's going, but I love it anyway.
I'm always like going to Captain, going like I'll be at home because it usually comes out like Wednesdays, and it's my day off. He's at work, and I'm like, "Yo!" like on Facebook, like, "Yo, you need to read Naruto right now."
Like, shut the fuck up! I'm ready to get out of my face.
Like, because I can't read it while I'm here at work because he'll either be a chapter behind, and then he'll like, "What are you looking at?" And then he'll have to, "Oh, I can't look! I can't look, man!
Turn the monitor off." All right. It's time once again for our segment called Look It Up, Kids. Google is your friend, especially for this obscure manga title. Josh, tell them about it.
All right, kids, this week, month, year, man, it's been a while. We're talking about Blazing Transfer Student. Mm. You might have seen Gurren Lagann and saw the true spirit of burning vigor.
Not like
the more
this.
That you know, the more you believe, the more you can do.
Right.
Burning power, and just the feeling that you believe gets everything done. Great Gainax has a long history of that, and we actually go back all the way to 91 for Blazing Transfer Student.
Now, it was made in the 90s, but the character designs and everything makes it look like this was made in the 70s.
Yes. It looks like, I remember the first time I saw it, I was like passing by, looking on TV, and like, is that Shigeru Robo?
I remember this.
Is that Ryoma in school?
Yeah, it was really designed to mimic the style of series like Ash no Joe.
Right.
And that really, gotcha, yeah, that whole 70s style. Complete with, the dirty cells, the thick looking lines. I mean, they're making mistakes on purpose.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of keeping that style.
That was real. When I first saw it, I didn't read the manga. I thought it was just an OVA series. I had no idea that there was a manga out for it. But now that I know that there is, I will be reading the shit out of that.
There has been some fan translation, and it's not like there's a couple of for the OAV. There are two episodes, and that's it.
Yeah.
And they act, of course, like it's a much longer series because
you look at the opening credits.
Oh,
For Blazing Transfer Student, holy shit! It's like I'm like, who's that guy? Oh, who's that guy? We're never gonna see those. Who's that? Is that supposed to be his dad? Wow, that's awesome. I'm never gonna see that. You know, that always happened. It's a high school drama. No, it's not even a drama. It's a high school comedy action.
Yeah.
Thing.
Everything solved with the spirit of your fists.
That's right. Everything.
Everything.
Like
I want some bread. Pow! There we go.
I think they had to fight over who wanted to sit in what seat or something, like the main character and the one bully, the main guy. So they fought over that, and then I think the prize was. this girl that one of them liked. Oh, dude. And like it just shows that, like, you know, in high school there's like this other society going on with a whole set of rules and whatnot. And, you know, that's one of the things, shameless plug, that got me into writing my web series.
You mean Fighter's High?
Yeah.
You want to say it? You want to say it? Fighter's High? You want to say it a few times?
The Rikazo Studios.
Dangerous. But yeah, and the thing is that the manga, you know, there's only the two episodes in the anime, but if you go back, there's 12 volumes of the manga, and that's, you really do get every character that's in that opening actually shows up somewhere along those 12 volumes. There's only so, just a little translated at this point by the fans.
Uh-huh.
Because it's something this old. I mean, we can hope that they'll eventually give it an actual official release, but I'm not holding my breath. Mm-hmm. There's stuff that's much more recent that hasn't gotten the release yet, and I'm still really hoping that they will. But, but yeah, it's just this completely ridiculous, over-the-top, burning vigor story.
Look it up, you little jerks!
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you hear something?
Is that the door?
Oh, shit. All right, pack everything up. We got to go. All right. Listen, check out Yami Nabe. We're going to be doing more episodes soon. Oh, shit, here they come. Go, go, go!
Get back those Kamen Rider figures.
Get to the job off!